Track 6, Schema Clustering. On this track, we will examine the characteristics of schema clusters, two or more schemas interfacing with a client's life, and interactions between schemas. Also, we will discuss indicators such as trigger situations that prompt a schema attack. I have found that very rarely does one schema inhibit a client. More likely than not, a borderline personality diagnosed client suffers from a cluster of schemas that negatively affect their life. Schema clusters result from two or more schemas operating in a single personality. Penelope, age 35, was one of my borderline disordered diagnosed clients suffering from schema clustering. Penelope had a husband, John, and two children. Her entire life centered around keeping John happy, making sure the kids did not make him mad, and doing everything that would keep him with her while he ignored her needs. After extensive sessions, I found that Penelope was suffering from the following three schemas: deprivation, abandonment, and subjugation. Penelope's deprivation schema stemmed from her refusal to tell John of his neglect towards her needs. Her abandonment schema made her terrified of John leaving her alone. It soon fed her subjugation schema. To keep him, Penelope would do anything, even if it was degrading. As a result of this dysfunctional marriage, Penelope became resentful of John. She stated, "He doesn't give a damn about me. I don't think he even loves me. It doesn't sound like he loves me, does it? I think the jackass might even be cheating on me. If he leaves me for her, I don't think I could go on living." As you can see, Penelope's schema disorders created a marriage that was a one-way street and threatened her own well-being. A second characteristic of schema clusters is interaction. Schemas that develop early on in childhood can become influential in developing a second schema later. Mary, age 24, acquired an unlovability schema when her mother ignored her and expelled all of her attention upon the three older sisters. When she began school, Mary noticed that she fell into her mother's favor when she brought home good grades. This appreciation shown by her mother was not the affection Mary should have been receiving during her developmental stages, but it was the closest she had ever come. She soon cultivated a perfectionistic schema. Sound familiar for a borderline disordered client? Neurotically worrying about her grades, not for her own benefit or self-improvement, but for her mother's attention. By high school, Mary slept around 4 hours a night to finally reach her goal of becoming valedictorian and achieving the ultimate reward from her mother. Mary stated, "I knew deep down that she didn't really love me. She loved my sisters and even accounted for my exceptional GPA. I could never be those perfect angels in her eyes. It was degrading. I guess it stemmed from my mother's narcissistic tendencies and her obsession with physical beauty, which I didn't have. But I don't think that harlot ever even noticed that I got a scholarship. I was just the ugly duckling." Mary's perfectionistic schema drove her to obsess over her mother's affection, but with mild success. As you can see, Mary's primary schema, unlovability, created a firm foundation for her secondary schema, perfectionism. Now that we've discussed the characteristics of schema clusters, interfacing, and interaction, let's discuss how to detect a schema. As you may have observed, each schema has its own signature quality. Many times this can be discovered through schema triggers and reactions. Mandy's triggers related to her deprivation schema. She stated, "As my boyfriend is saying goodbye, he'll talk about how busy he's going to be over the next few weeks and doesn't mention that he'd like to get together again. He's avoiding me. I know it. This is his way of telling me. He doesn't even get it when I give him the cold shoulder." It's like, duh, I can give rejection like you can dish out. I ask Mindy why she didn't just tell her boyfriend that she felt he was ignoring her. Mindy responded, in my family, any expression of strong emotion was frowned upon as a dramatic display. I learned to suppress my feelings. Telling people that I'm angry won't do anything. They'll either be terrified of me or ignore me completely. It's a universal truth for me. As you can see, Mindy has assimilated the self-fulfilling idea that no one will want to meet her needs because the world is cold and apathetic. To help Penelope, Mary, and Mindy address their schemas and better link their behavior to the past, I found the feelings block exercise helpful. I asked these three to look at the list of emotions and write about or talk about a time in the past that they felt this way and to explore the general feelings associated with the primary emotion. Mary addressed the feeling of perfectionism, whose associated general feeling was inadequacy. Mary related, my dad once told me that when I took my first steps, my mother was too fascinated with my little sister's first communion dress to see it. He came home and found me walking. He asked her how long I'd been on my 2 feet, and she said, huh? She's walking now? When I heard that story, I felt so incompetent and low. One of the greatest achievements in a person's life, and the woman who brought you into the world barely even noticed. From then on, I felt embarrassed to be around other mothers that actually loved their children. I thought I might reach out and grab them and scream, will you be my mother? I still feel that way sometimes, especially when I'm dating someone. I feel like I don't want another in my life. By linking her past feelings of inadequacy, Mary can find the source of her perfectionistic schema. Think of your Mark, Mary, or Penelope. Would they benefit from a feelings block technique? On this track, we discuss the characteristics of schema clusters. Two or more schemas interfacing with one another, or interactions between schemas. Also, we discussed triggering situations that prompted a schema attack. Question 6. What are two characteristics of schema clusters? This CD has covered such topics as steps to schema therapy, pattern schemas, maladaptive schemas, schema clustering, and the emotional core of schemas. I hope you have found the information to be both practical and beneficial. We appreciate that you've chosen the Healthcare Training Institute at homestudycredit.com as a means for receiving your continuing education credit. Please consider us for future home study needs. Other courses we offer are Setting Clear and Ethical Boundaries, You Made Me Hit You, Interventions for Male Batterers, Interventions for Anxiety Disorders with Children and Adults, Sad is How I Am, Treating Dysthymia in Children and Adults, and Ethically Treating PTSD. Thank you.